Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And I can just tell you right now how Darren thinks. He's like, hey, it's Thanksgiving tomorrow. People are going to be traveling. There's going to be some frustration out there, but also people cooking, people getting things ready. Let's get a really good, fun, joyful, I would even go so far as to say dynamic guest on before we go into the big holiday weekend, before everybody goes into the big holiday weekend. So we got here, Dr. Deke. I almost said Dr. Harold Burke Sivers. Well, that may be the case. I am not aware of whether or not he's a doctor, but he is a deacon. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is our guest. He's the author of Behold the Man, A Catholic Vision of Male Spirituality. He wrote the book on Father Augustus Tolton, the slave who became the first African-American priest. And he's got a brand new book out, which is the topic of our focus episode on our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, today. And that's Building a Civilization of Love, A Catholic Response to Racism. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, it's great to be with you as always. And I am just deacon, not doctor.
I know. Just to be clear. You're not a doctor of the church yet. Have the Catholic bishops of the U.S. sent a letter to the Pope requesting that you be a doctor of the church? Did you see they did that this week for Cardinal Newman?
No. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great.
They requested it for Cardinal Newman, but not yet for you. But don't just be patient. They'll get to it.
I'm not holding my breath, so.
888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. And, you know, we talk to you an awful lot when you're on. We talk about evangelization, how to evangelize, and all that. And so Darren and I were thinking about it, and people are, okay, we're coming into the holiday season. I know that there are people who are like, I want to maybe evangelize the relatives. There's some people who are saying, I just want to survive the relatives, and I don't want to, give a bad showing for the Christian faith by being unchristian to people when they know I'm the Christian member of the family, all of that. So what kind of help can you give us about bringing Jesus with you, in a way that is actually helpful, to the family around the holiday table?
Yeah. So I just want to, set the table, if you will.
Okay.
By just talking about a little bit about this time of year. You know,
okay.
First of all, I think a lot of people are always shocked at how fast it comes, right?
Right.
Like, wait a minute, wait, it's Thanksgiving already? Where'd the year go? You know, it just seems to go by so fast. And then the days are shorter, right?
Yes.
As we go toward the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year, the days are getting shorter and shorter, less and less daylight, which kind of fills people with a little bit of anxiety. Then there's the holiday travel. You know, this week is just absolutely crazy. If you're flying or even if you're driving, you know, you have to deal with more traffic. And it's depending on where you live, the weather, you know, it could be snow, sleet, rain. And you combine that with the mass readings this time of year as we head toward
the apocalyptic.
The Feast of Christ the King, you know, apocalyptic and eschatological. And you
right.
think, oh my goodness, you know, you think about the end of the world and then the end of your world. You know, you're thinking about death a little bit more than you would normally, especially during November.
Yeah, we
pray for departed souls,
right?
And then just right around the corner. So that's a little bit of anxiety tinged with anticipation. You know, we have Advent, which means the Christmas is in the air. You know, already you're seeing all the if you watch television, you're seeing all the television commercials and Christmas stuff already. And,
yeah.
So. You know, we're already in that kind of mood. And then we have family and friends, which for some is, again, anxiety mixed with joy. Because here's people you only see maybe a couple times a year. So it's a great time. You have lots of food, presents. The atmosphere is wonderful. But then you may also have some family and friends who are away from the church. And you might think to yourself, this is my chance.
Yes.
You know, I have a captive audience. It's hard to talk to them the rest of the year because I don't really see them that much. I'm not on social media that much, but now they're actually here. I'm with them. Now's my chance, right? So how do you bring up issues of faith? I mean, because everything goes great in these conversations until it gets to faith and politics, and then crash and burn.
Yes, yes, right.
So you want to bring it up, but you don't want to isolate anyone or get them angry. You know, because everybody's there to have a good time. So then what do you do? You know, that does fill people with anxiety, especially when it comes to your own children, too, or even very close friends. You know, so it almost feels like, Cy, you know, when you're preaching at a wedding or a funeral, you know, you have people there that don't go to church and they're only there out of respect and love for the person that died or the person that's getting married. And yeah. So you think as a homilist, here's my chance to speak to this group, this captive audience of people
who
may not be going to church. So what do I say now? How do I get them to even think about coming back to the faith? And that, I think that's the same kind of thinking for people with their own family and friends.
But then you're putting so much stress on yourself. Do you know what I mean? You're like building up this pressure on, I got to say the right thing.
Yeah, because it kind of feels like I have to,
right?
You know, like what if no one else is saying anything to them, so it's up to me. And then, you know, you're living out of your baptismal call to holiness, right? The charisms that we all receive in baptism as priest, prophet, and king, not ministerial priesthood, of course, but the priesthood of all believers, where we offer our life as a sacrifice. The king, where we serve, and then the prophet, who speaks the truth. So you have to be a prophet, not one who predicts the future, but someone who speaks the word of God, especially the people who we love or who are away from the church. And, you know, we even have, I think, in a sense, an obligation to some extent when you think of the spiritual works of mercy.
Yeah,
right. You know, so we have almost an obligation. So the question is, how do we do it in a way, you know,
that's not
that
alienating?
Right, that the person is even open to even listening in the first place. I think that's the key. And for every person, it's going to be different because a lot of it's going to depend on how well you know the person. Of course, that person knows you. And what things do you have in common that you maybe can, as a way to get into a conversation that may expand into something more. And then you got to know when to leave, when to pull out, when to get out.
Yeah.
You know, you give just enough thinking, but not enough to get angry, or pull out and just wait. Let the Holy Spirit, let that seed of faith work in that person's heart. And then when they're ready, maybe they'll come back to you for more.
There are also the members of the family, you know, in various states. Everyone's on their journey, their own journey. And sometimes, and I know that sounds trite to kind of say it, but you're deacon, right? You're it's not your first name, it's your title, deacon. So people know you're the Catholic guy. I'm a Catholic radio host. If I go to a thing, people know that the Catholic thing is there. But usually, you know, the more religious members of the family are known, people who are practicing the faith are known. And then sometimes you get a little provocation. You get the poke, the verbal poke about, I don't know, somebody saying something critical of the church. Or so how do you, I mean, you must have dealt with this as, you know, Deacon Harold, you must have dealt with people giving you a little bit of a, I don't know, just kind of putting the elbow in your ribs a little bit about the church.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you get questions like, well, isn't it great that, you know, Pope Francis allows transgenders to witness at weddings and things like that? Isn't that wonderful that, you know, that the church may be thinking about, you know, marriage for people of the same sex? Isn't that awesome? You know, and then you're sitting there. Of course, your first reaction is like, start fuming, right? But again, but for me, I said, you know what? You know, when somebody says things like that, what I hear, instead of getting angry and defensive, what I hear is, I'm confused. Please help me. You know, I'm hurting. Please, you know, please show me the way. I'm lost. You know, that's kind of what I hear. So I said, wow. I said, where'd you hear that? You know, I didn't know that the church was considering having unions of people of the same sex. Because didn't Jesus say, and I think it was Matthew 19's gospel, you know, they talk about divorce. He said, you know, and he goes back to Genesis 2, male and female, he created them. What God has joined, let no man put asunder. He's talking about a man and woman. Where does Jesus open the door to those kinds of unions? Is it in the Bible? Or did you hear where that?
Yes. This is the thing that I always forget to do. I always forget. And
put some of the onus back on them.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Say, that's the thing that I forget. I forget to ask a question. Because, like, if sometimes you get that poke and you want to be like, well, let me explain the entire history of the Catholic Church to you right now and what you owe to the Catholic. And that's the thing. The pressure comes off if you go, well, where did you hear that? Like, oh,
yes, exactly.
Them. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Go ahead.
No, that's great. No, so you give them time to start thinking now because they're kind of saying it. Because, like, all right, they may be coming from, hey, this is a point of agreement. You know, I may not be practicing my faith but much, but hey, isn't this something good? You know, and that's your in. And so you don't want to isolate them and push them away, but at the same time,
right.
you want to get a deeper understanding of what they mean when they say that.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers is our guest. I want to recommend that you do listen to today's episode of Catholic Answers Focus, where we talked about his wonderful new book, Building a Civilization of Love, A Catholic Response to Racism. I highly recommend the book, and I really enjoyed that conversation. But this hour, we're talking with Deacon Harold about bringing Jesus right into the home where we're going to be. It might be our home. It might be the home that we are invited to, but it's the holiday time. And that can be a lot of stress comes with that. It's easy to give what we might call a counter witness. So how do we actually witness to the person of Jesus in a way that's helpful to others? If you want to talk about that with Deacon Harold, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. We'll take our first break, and we'll be right back with more with Deacon Harold on Catholic Answers Live.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features daily Mass, prayers, articles, and meditations in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church. On the web at Magnificat.com.
Join Dr. Scott Hahn as he teaches how sacred scripture forms and informs our notions of morality, spirituality, liturgy, and the sacraments. You can hear Road to Emmaus with Dr. Scott Hahn, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free, at EWTN Podcast Central. Visit EWTNradio.net/podcasts today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I think most Christian people really do want to give a good witness to Jesus. They want to be a good example of what a Christian person is. But it can be frustrating, upsetting, confusing. Sometimes we go back home with our brothers and sisters, for example, and now we're kids again. And we lose that adult thing that we've built up in every other part of our lives. Sometimes it's our own kids. They know how to provoke us. Sometimes it's the in-laws, whatever. But it's not always easy to go into these holiday situations and give a witness to Jesus as the person who loves that person and who calls us all into a relationship of love, first of all, with God, our Father who loves us, and then with one another. If you've got some questions about just how to do that, how to take Jesus into the home, we're talking to one of the world's great evangelists, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. And I know he's one of the world's great evangelists because I'm never going to let this go. Whenever he goes down to the South Pacific, they have a press conference and they have some kind of government shutdown or something where, like, I don't know. I forget. I'm going to get it wrong. Borneo?
Papua New Guinea.
I always get it wrong. Papua New Guinea. I hate to act. All right. Papua New Guinea. I don't know. You had some kind of motorcade, and I'm so jealous of this. I have to bring it up every single time you're on.
Yeah, that was one of the greatest experiences of my life, not just of my speaking career in evangelization. You know, it was totally, completely unexpected. And it was wonderful. Yeah. They basically treated me as a diplomat because it was the first time they ever had a Catholic evangelist come and speak to nationwide, you know, to the country like that. And, it was completely unexpected and just a great blessing and a nice treat.
That's very, very nice. And I know you've been all over because everywhere I've ever spoken, who else have you had come and speak here? Well, a few years ago, we had Deacon Harold come in. I always feel like, oh, well, this isn't going to be quite that good. All right. Just relax, everybody. It's not going to get quite to that level. 888-318. Go ahead.
Well, they wouldn't invite you, Si, if you weren't at that level of speaker. So. Don't sell yourself short, my friend.
Oh, look at that. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. We can, especially as parents, we can feel, I almost think the word is a kind of desperation that when we have adult children particularly who have not received the gospel for whatever reason, and sometimes I must say, I think parents blame themselves. They feel guilty about it. They think, what could I have done differently? But in many cases, I think the answer is nothing. You did great. It just, this child has not yet opened their heart to receive Jesus and his gospel message. So give me a little something before I go to the calls. Give me a little something that maybe you in your experience might help the parent who's welcoming the child home from college, or the adult child with family coming over for the holidays.
Yeah, so I think the tendency that we have is to say, "Oh, are you going to church? Are you praying every day? Are you kind of the checklist, you know?
Right.
Are you on top of this?" You know, where I think it should be much more conversational. You know, we've totally underestimated the power of this culture to pull and attract our kids, to lure them away from faith. You know, and so our job as parents, as educators, as priests and deacons and catechists, is to lay a strong foundation in the lives and in the hearts of our children. When they're teenagers, we still have them captive in our homes and in our parishes, in our schools, to really not just teach them the faith like a subject in school, but teach them how to fall in love with Jesus, to get to know Jesus deeply and personally and intimately. And we do that by making a personal connection between their faith life and the sacramental life of the church. You know, why are they going to Mass? You know, what does baptism I got when I was a baby, what does that have to do with me now? You know, confirmation, okay, what, the bishop put some oil on my forehead and laid his hands on my head and like, okay, what does that mean now? And the thing is, I was at the Good News Conference in Orlando, Florida, and Bishop Robert Barron gave the address, and he said something that really stuck with me. He said, our young people are asking questions and we're not giving them the answers. And I was nodding my head so hard in agreement that I almost hit the table. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes. And the other, I would add to that, to what His Excellency said, the way I hear it, they want to hear the truth and they're not hearing it. They're mm-hmm. not. So if they, right. if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and if we're not giving them the truth, we're not giving them Jesus. And they're not able to have that relationship with Him because they're getting more of an academic formation of the head rather than a deep spiritual love formation of the heart.
888-318-7884, the number. Man, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, how many people have, I mean, I'm sure you've met the people that come to the church when you speak and they say, I had these questions when I was 13 years old that nobody would answer the questions, or I was told, stop doing that, you know, stop being rebellious. But the person wasn't being rebellious. They had a legitimate question that they needed answered.
Exactly. And so here's the approach I would take, Cy. Your kid comes home from school, college, instead of giving the checklist or the laundry list, say, son, let me tell you about an experience I had in adoration the other day. Mm-hmm. Or you know what, so, you know, sweetheart, honey, I was at Mass last Sunday, and when the readings, you know, the readings and the homily, you know, let me tell you what was on my heart. You know, when I heard the gospel, when I heard Father breaking open and feeding us with the Word of God, let me tell you what's going on in my heart at that time. Let me tell you what my prayer life has been like with your mom. You know, I mean, holy cow, man, what? That is putting the faith into lived experience, into lived action. Son, you know what? You know, your mom and I decided that we're going to go down to the homeless shelter in the morning on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and I thought
We're going to go to Mass, and then we're going to go feed the homeless for a couple hours before we have our own Thanksgiving Day meal. You know, because when Jesus says feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, you know, those aren't just nice words in the book. Yeah. He actually calls us to do it.
Yeah.
What? Mind blowing. Because now the kids are hearing, oh my goodness, my parents are actually living the faith. They're actually engaging Christ in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, in the Beatitudes, in the corporal and spiritual works of mercy.
Right, right.
Now they begin, how do I do that? Am I doing that in my own life? They begin to question their own way of thinking, their own way of living.
Yep.
You know, and say, maybe that's the piece that's missing in my life. Maybe that's why I don't feel totally complete in my walk with that piece with God is missing.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's, again, all you're doing is planting seeds. Remember, it's not our job to convert anybody. You know, we're just the instruments God is the musician.
The problem with what you're proposing there, however, is that the parent has to be in a relationship with Jesus and and living it out. So then we got to ask ourselves, am I? Do I have that relationship? Go ahead. The phones are starting to fill up.
Yeah, you can't give what you don't have.
Yeah.
Right? If you said, Deacon Howell, give me $20, and I go into my wallet and it's empty, which it is, I can't give you what I don't have myself. So if you're talking about getting your kids back to the faith, you have to be immersed in the faith yourself. You have to be living the faith with joy and passion and conviction, because that's something that you can't fake.
Right.
And kids can spot a fake a mile away.
Right. Sandra
sincerity. Yes, sincerity and genuineness is the key.
Sandra in Central Montana, listening on 1240 AM. Thank you for waiting, Sandra. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers.
Well, I didn't necessarily have a question. I had a comment.
Okay.
And my experience has been that we must first encounter Christ ourselves, and then he sets the world on fire through us. And one of the things that I have come to experience has been I went through a time with my own adult children with separation and their separation from the church. And that was the last thing that they wanted to hear. And as a mother, it can be really hard on your heart to watch your children walking through life, not accompanied by the Lord. And I had a very wise woman in my parish asked to pray with me. And when I said, my children, she wrapped her arms around me and she says, those are not your children. Those are God's children. He gave them to you, but for a little while. Your job is to love them. His job is to save them. And I think as parents, sometimes we fail to listen because we're in fear. And when we stand present in love and truth, miraculous things can happen in the lives of our children.
Wow. I love that, Sandra. That's awesome.
I know.
That is absolutely awesome. I mean, and that's exactly the point. You know, one thing I hear also from kids, which is sad and tragic, is that they have no idea how much God loves them. They have no idea. And so, Sandra, our job is to love them. It's God's job to save them. That's why I say, when people say, we have to convert this person. We can't convert anybody. We're not that good. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job, as I've said again and again, is to plant seeds of faith. And it's God, the Holy Spirit, that's going to allow that faith to grow in that person's heart. But the seed can't grow if the seed isn't there. So we have to engage our young people to help, to allow them to begin to see Jesus living and working in our lives. And if we're not living that ourselves, there's no way that they'll be able to fall in love with Jesus. Because if we're just engaging them academically, it's like, you know, like a mental exercise. You know, well, what are the Ten Commandments and what are this and what is that? And,
right.
And they don't see that as actual relationship. So I love what Sandra said. It's beautiful.
Nicely done, Sandra. I'm going to have to complain about your answer as well, however, because like Deacon's answer makes me, it requires that I have a relationship with Jesus. Your answer requires that I trust him.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Well,
that's
apparently
a scary thing.
It is a scary thing.
We got to dwell.
It's scary to trust Jesus with your kids. I know that sounds dumb.
It's a scary thing to trust God.
Yeah,
you
it
know,
is.
Because you have to let go. And, you know, it's like jumping out of a plane. Like a normal human being would not want to jump out of a plane. I get skydivers and Army Rangers. I get all that. But a normal person would not think, oh, I'm 30,000 feet in the air. Let me jump out of this plane.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, but you have to trust God and let go. And that's hard to do because it's scary, right? And 1 John 4:16 says, perfect love casts out all fear. And the word perfect there is teleos in Greek, or taumim in Hebrew, which means mature, whole, and complete. A mature trust, a whole trust, a complete faith. That's what we have to be able to let go and trust that God is going to, you know, open our children's hearts to be able to get them on the path toward heaven.
Sandra, before we have to go to the break, I'm curious about, did this advice make a difference? Like, do you feel a weight off of you in being able to love your children without having to save them?
Absolutely. And for me, the Lord came to me. I was living in complete darkness, a long ways from the practice of the faith. And Jesus reached down and grabbed a hold of me. And the life I live today, I live through faith in the Lord. But in the process of that, everything I knew, my family, my job, so many things I had to let go of. I mean, they just disappeared. And, you know, it was so hard wanting to know, are my children okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, Jesus is, he's our all in all. If we do not have him first and foremost in our life, we have absolutely nothing.
Sandra, it's the break right now, but man, we'll leave it right there because you nailed it. Thanks, Sandra, very much for the call. More calls right after this.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Want to get right to the core of Christ's saving message? Want a roadmap for living the life Christ calls you to? It's time to look again at the Beatitudes. In his new book, Heart of the Gospel, How the Beatitudes Show Us God's Plan for Happiness, Father Sebastian Walsh demonstrates compellingly how these eight declarations make up the foundation, the essence, and the final goal of Jesus' teaching. Heart of the Gospel illuminates the scriptural passages from which we get the Beatitudes, explains the significance of their wording, their order, and their timing in Jesus' ministry. And it draws out edifying parallels and connections with salvation history and the lives of the saints. Most importantly, Father Walsh offers wise counsel from his own work as a priest and teacher to help you live the Beatitudes in your own life. Order your copy of Heart of the Gospel today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Matt Swaim here. Tomorrow on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll celebrate the Thanksgiving holiday with recipe ideas, reflections on gratitude, the theology of hospitality, and more. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Getting ready for a happy Thanksgiving. I hope your Thanksgiving will be happy. Maybe you're traveling. Maybe you're in a different place than you usually are and you're hearing us for the first time. If you are, check us out at Catholic.com. Catholic Answers is a mostly lay apostolate devoted to answering questions about the Catholic faith, explaining the Catholic faith, defending it. And we'd love it if you'd find out more about us at Catholic.com. And maybe this show can become a regular part of your life. One thing about us, we're not better than other people. And if everybody else is having a Black Friday sale, we're having a Black Friday sale. We're just not. And not only that, we're going to have a Super Saturday sale. And what do we call Sunday? Can you make up something for Sunday? A nifty Sunday? No, that doesn't work. And then Cyber Monday. We're having sales for all of it. So check it all out at shop.catholic.com. $2 book sale on Black Friday. shop.catholic.com. And let me just read some of this ad. Besides having one of the largest collections of great Catholic books, we've also added lots of great gift items, clothing, puzzles, candles, scapulas, that's the Boston way of saying it, and rosaries, and coffee. Salted caramel and pumpkin spice now available at shop.catholic.com. Sales all weekend. keep checking in. Shop.catholic.com. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is our guest. And we're talking about, it's kind of a practical hour this hour. You're going to see a lot of family, friends, maybe the kids, maybe the parents, whatever. How do we bring Christ into this whole thing that we do, this whole holiday thing that we're getting going on? 888-318-7884 is the number. We were just talking with Sandra, who made several wonderful points. If you need a replacement host, I believe Sandra could do it, Darren. But you were gonna follow up on the conversation we had with Sandra.
Yes, you know, Sandra just was so beautiful in her witness. You know, I love that call so much. I just want to touch on two things she said. Expand on it just briefly. First of all, she said, "I was living in darkness, and then Jesus came into my life."
Yeah,
that is so key. So key. Why? To share that experience. Now, of course, you want to share it in a way that, you know, not divulging things that you told the priest in confession or not saying anything so personal may scandalize or things like that. But enough of the story where the person's intrigued. Wait a minute. How did you get there? How did you get from darkness to living this light?
Right.
I mean, how are you seeing so clearly right now? How did that happen? And to share that experience. For some reason, we're so reluctant to do that. And I think we're reluctant because Sandra also touched on fear, you know, because how is this person going to think? They're going to think I'm nuts. You know, they're going to think I'm crazy. Why are you sharing that? You know, and at first it may seem like, wow, that was kind of weird that you shared that. But I'm telling you, in their hearts, they heard everything you said. Mm-hmm. And that seed that you plant is going to start working on that person's heart. They're going to be thinking about that conversation. You know, and I see this all the time with teenagers. You have the teenage girl. In fact, this happened to me the other day. Teenage girl came up to me and she was, you know, talking about how she was homeschooled. Then she was going to a public school and there's some pro-choice people there. And someone said, well, what do you think about this? You know, and she was a little bit reluctant to share their faith with them because you're like, oh no, I'm going to be like the only person that thinks this way and everybody's going to think I'm nuts. And I mean, you see, it's scary.
Yes.
You know, especially right. when your family and friends and the holidays, you're like the only person that's thinking with the mind and the heart of the church and you feel isolated. You feel like, you know, I'm the only one that thinks this way. Don't have fear. Look what Jesus says. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, right? We're called to preach the gospel in its fullness, right? Not just the parts we like. That means that when we live our faith every day with passion and conviction, when we share our experiences of how God has worked in my life, how I came to have this life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ, people are going to want to push away. You know, they're going to want to push away or push you away. You know, right. You talk about every human being has a right to life from the moment of conception of natural death or marriage as a man and a woman. If there's only two genders, male and female, we're going to be persecuted and mocked and ridiculed and scorned because that's what happened to Jesus on his way to the cross. Remember, he said, if you are to be my disciples, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. So the same thing that happened to him is going to happen to us. But take no fear. Remember, the cross is not the end. The cross is the vehicle to salvation and eternal life.
Amen, amen, amen to all of it. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers as our guest. You want to talk about the holidays, bringing the real Jesus, and doing so in a way that maybe actually opens people's hearts to Christ. 888-318-7884 is the number. Mike is in Lakewood, New Jersey, listening on WFJS. Mike, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold.
Oh, thank you, gentlemen. Deacon Harold, at the top of the hour, you mentioned that people at Thanksgiving are part of a captive audience, and I think that's a very apt term. Do you think that a captive audience is going to be receptive to this kind of talk? You know, I'm a non-believer, and I wouldn't be dismissive of a Thanksgiving prayer during Thanksgiving, just as I would hope that people wouldn't be dismissive of my beliefs, you know, in a day that's supposed to be about getting together with family. I'm out looking for three things in Thanksgiving. I'm looking to be with my family. I'm looking to have a nice meal. I'm looking to see the Dallas Cowboys lose. Anything else? We can wait till another time.
I like all three. I like all three of those.
Mike.
Deacon, what do you say?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for your call, Mike. And I'm from New Jersey, too. So, you know, we got that in common, which is awesome. You know, what I'm talking about, Mike, is not proselytization. So I'm not saying that you come to in that situation and you're just like, hey, guys, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the Catholic faith and start preaching to people. I'm talking about when you're having a conversation, one-on-one conversation with someone, and something comes up that could possibly open the door to share your experience. Because, yeah, you may not believe, but you cannot deny someone's personal experience. So all we're saying, Mike, is that during those moments we have that captive audience, when you have someone who's away from the faith, a door or a window may open that allows an opportunity to share a personal experience of how faith has come and has changed your life, or a witness of how Jesus has worked in your life in some way. That's all I'm saying. You're not going to spend the whole time Thanksgiving, you know, talking to every single person about Jesus. I mean, if you're going to talk about football and family and friends and work and kids and all those wonderful things. But I'm what I'm saying is, when we as Catholics live a Eucharistic faith, when we take what we receive in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and Word and Sacrament, that calls us to be Eucharist to the world, to not be afraid to recognize opportunities to be able to share the faith with someone in a way that's non-threatening, that's not pushy, that's not in your face. But again, if someone's sharing maybe their personal experience, there's an opportunity to share your personal experience with your faith not being divorced from your everyday life.
What do you think about that, Mike?
I appreciate the perspective, but as someone who's I'm 50 years old, you know, I find that proselytization and evangelization is a distinction without a difference. That when you're going into Thanksgiving with the purpose of trying to introduce, you know, religion into it, it's there as a, you know, it's not coming out naturally. And I don't think that a lot of people who want to talk about Christ don't want to hear what I want to talk about, lack of Christ, or, you know, of secularism. Because I don't want to talk about it. I just want to have a nice time with my family.
But I gotta argue with one thing, though, Mike. You said bringing religion into Thanksgiving. Who do you think we're thanking? Like, that it is a religious holiday. It's at its root, it's a religious holiday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at its root, but that doesn't mean that people necessarily follow that. I mean, sometimes we're thankful to, you know, the providence as opposed to saying, you know, a specific deity with intention.
Yeah.
We're thankful to each other. I mean, you know, you might think that as a cop out, but I think that it's fair to say that we're just glad. It's just a celebration of gladness, and not necessarily for all people, although obviously it is for some.
Yeah.
Not all people treat it as a thanking of Yahweh.
Right, right. Okay. I actually am sympathetic to something Mike is saying, Deacon Harold, and I want to get your view on this. And Mike, you're breaking up a little bit, so as much as I would love this to be a back-and-forth conversation, it's when you go back and listen to it, you'll hear. It's very hard for the audience to hear exactly what you're saying, but I'm very sympathetic to something Mike is saying is, I don't want to make people uncomfortable at their Thanksgiving celebration. I don't want anyone to come to my house and feel uncomfortable on Thanksgiving. I don't want to go to someone else's house and make it uncomfortable for anyone. And so, like, I feel like, yeah, Mike, I get where you're coming from. And that's a perfectly reasonable request, that people should be relaxed and at ease and enjoying themselves on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and the word Eucharist means Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Right.
So you know, we just, I mean, to not have an opportunity to do that, Mike, for us, is to deny who we are, because our identity is not in the culture. Our identity is not, you know, what color or race or whatever. Our identity is in Jesus Christ, as sons and daughters of the living God, as people steeped in the blood of the Lamb. You know, so for us, it's you know, we're denying literally part of ourselves. Again, if we don't take advantage of an opportunity to share the faith. I'm not talking about proselytization where you're forcing someone to be, forcing your faith on someone. I'm not talking about that. And evangelization is really about encountering the life-giving power of Jesus Christ. That's all. And again, you know, you may not like that. They may offend you. And if someone starts bringing it up and say, hey, I don't want to talk about that, you could just, okay, that's fine. You know, but really, if we're talking about being all these words are using, they're inclusive and diversity, you know, and I mean, yes, I'm open-minded. Maybe I could be open-minded to someone who just wants to share a little bit about what faith means in their own life. That shouldn't be anything that's intimidating to anyone.
You are a man of awfully good taste, as you started the conversation by family, food, and the defeat of the Dallas Cowboys. So I hope we leave you on happy terms, Mike. But we got to take a quick break. More with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
This is Father Gerald Murray. Catholic truth conveyed through the radio reaches so many, both Catholic and non-Catholic, and they receive encouragement, strength, guidance, and enlightenment. The Holy Spirit is working through these radio waves that go out to all the countries of the world. Catholic radio, of course, is an effort to make Christ known.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul? And that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Almost Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is about to dawn across the United States, a day dedicated to giving thanks, mostly by feasting. And we hope you enjoy it. I've been saying this week, but I want to let you know again, we've got original shows that will air tomorrow and Friday. So don't worry, we're going to be here. And we got the flannel panel tomorrow. And with some discussion of the news of the world from a Catholic perspective, also discussion of Thanksgiving and what it means to be grateful and what we're grateful for and all that kind of stuff. And then Friday, what do we got, Darren? Andrew Pettiprin's going to be here. And we're going to talk about movies. We'll talk about the holiday movies that are coming out. We'll talk about the greatest holiday movies ever. We'll talk about some overrated holiday movies. All of it from a Catholic perspective, with a real scholar and a wonderful film critic, Andrew Pettiprin. I don't know why I was having trouble with that. If you want to talk with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, we still got him here for a few more minutes, though. 888-318-7884. Deacon, I want to mention again your book because I think it's wonderful. I think your approach is the approach we all need to take. We've had some good Catholic books lately, on especially since the year of upset following the killing of George Floyd. We've had good Catholic books that have done wonderful work in expressing the Catholic view on racism, but I think yours is tops because you get right at what we need to do, which is build a civilization of love. So check out Deacon Harold's new book, Building a Civilization of Love, A Catholic Response to Racism, which he is now holding over his face so that everyone watching. Is it from Ignatius Press? I think I see Ignatius on there. Oh, yeah. From Ignatius Press. Another fine book from Ignatius Press. And clearly, I'm glad you're helping with the advertising on that. Thank you for that. You're going on pilgrimage. Where are you going on pilgrimage? You're going with a good friend of ours, a guy that I can't believe it's you and Bishop Coffey going together on a pilgrimage. That's a great pilgrimage.
Yeah, we met a couple years ago on a marriage cruise. It was for married couples, and he was there, and I was there as a speaker, and we had dinner every night together. We were assigned to the same table. We sat next to each other. We got to know each other. He's from Philadelphia. I'm from Jersey, you know, so we had that in common. And so we ran into each other a couple other times, and we decided to do a pilgrimage together. So we're doing a Warriors of France pilgrimage.
Please tell me Joan is part of it.
Normandy Beach. Yeah, of course, of course. Joan of Arc. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to be from April 24th until May 3rd of next year. April 24th to May 3rd. In fact, we have a pilgrimage trip to Lourdes for a few days there, and then up to Paris for the regular pilgrimage, Warriors of France. We're going to go to Normandy. We're going to go to Lisieux. We're going to see St. Joan of Arc. You know, we're going to go to a lot of the saints that were really warriors for the faith. It's going to be awesome. And with a bishop, nonetheless. A bishop
of the military archdiocese.
Yes, he's auxiliary bishop of the archdiocese, the military.
Yeah.
So maybe there's some veterans and people in the military or some family and friends that want to come on. This is just going to be awesome. Again, April 24th to May 3rd next year.
Just great
go to DeaconHarold.com to my pilgrimage tab. And you'll see the flyer there to sign up.
All right. DeaconHarold.com. Let's go back to the phones. We're talking a bit about bringing Jesus into the holidays, but doing so in a way that is human, you know, that is not artificial or strained or otherwise weird, but in a way that expresses the real faith that we have in the person of Jesus Christ with those who we love. Walter is in Florida watching on Facebook. Walter, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Deacon Harold, I got a few minutes ago, you mentioned a comment about the young people and the questions that they have. As a catechist in the youth confirmation program, at the beginning of the year, it's always difficult to get these young teens to engage and to talk and ask questions. And I'm always looking for a way to get that going. For example, when we talk about the Ten Commandments, asking them questions, they talk about how, for them, the commandments are all about thou shalt not. They said, enough things in this world tell us what we can't do. We want to tell what can we do. So I tried to explain it to them in a way that the Ten Commandments are a way for them to exhibit their love, not so much as prohibit. So these are the kind of things that I'm looking for in my class to share with them. And the question I have for you is, kids have a lot of questions about the definition of faith and grace. And I'm looking for resources that kind of explain that and how they tie in with the sacraments, because they have a lot of questions about these things.
No, you're absolutely right. They do, and these are important questions that we need to engage these young people with, and not just fluff. And they're right. You know, we present the faith so much as you can't do this, you can't do that, but really, what it's about, Walter, is about what God's love frees you to do. Think about this: if you wanted to be a great athlete, Walter, you want to be a great athlete. Let's just pick a sport, swimming, right? Like Michael Phelps. You want to be the next Michael Phelps. Would you go to a teacher that says, you know what, you're free to do whatever you want. Just show up to practice whenever you want. Eat whatever you want. You know, if you don't feel like lifting weights, that's okay. Just do it your way. You know, in fact, you're already great. Here's your trophy for 10th place. Or would you go to a teacher that said, you know what, you want to be the best swimmer in the world? You're going to have to get up at 4 o'clock every morning. You have to do exercises. You have to hit the pool before school. You have to make sure your studies and your grades are up. You can't eat whatever you want because you have to turn your body into a machine. You can't hang out with your friends whenever you want. You can't be on social media whenever you want. And these are good things, Walter, but they willingly give up good things now in order to be great, right? And every athlete will do that. Why? Why? Because they understand why they're doing. They need to know that they're doing these sacrifices now to get to the place where they're going to get on that stand and win that medal. Well, for us as Catholics, that's called virtue. Sex is a good thing. Alcohol is not a bad thing. Jesus drank wine and stuff. He never got drunk. But see, so what we have to say is, here's what God's love. The reason why the church says that, you know, as a young person, you're still developing, you're still growing. Here's what God's love frees you to do. By engaging in these activities now, you're not allowing yourself to be free so that God can create you to be the person who he created and desires you to be. You know, and so we give up those good things now because that builds virtue so you can be great, because that's what they want to be great. And so they think that, you know, what, you know, the living the way of the culture is going to get them great. No, that's the trophy for 10th place. You know, and so I think like little explanations like that, you know, and plus using the Chosen program from Ascension Presses, I think is from what I've seen is an amazing program for young people preparing not just for the sacrament of confirmation, but how to think deeply and seriously about their relationship with Jesus Christ. And it does talk about faith and grace and the role of the church in my life and why Mass is important. What does confirmation have to do with me? Why is it not Catholic graduation? Why should I even think about it after I go through this ritual? You know, when I go off to college, I forget everything my parents told me for 18 years. You know, so we have to make those deeper connections between their faith and their everyday lived experience.
I agree. Thank you so much.
Well, to thank you for the work that you do. Thanks very, very much for that. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers is our guest. I'm going to keep going to see if I can get everybody who has called on the on with Deacon Harold. We'll go to Patricia in Pennsylvania. Patricia, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold.
Okay. There's a tenor to this conversation that's really bothering me. God free us to do? He frees us to speak truth to our children. And the word uncomfortable, we don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. Boy, my life has turned around, yes. Just as was spoken by the female caller, she said, you know, Jesus came into my life. But boy, to hold back in this culture that is literally mutilating children for the sake of uncomfortability at a gathering once a year that we have for Thanksgiving. It's just so. I think my question is, if Jesus frees us, would Jesus sit by and not address these issues that are because he doesn't want to make people uncomfortable? And I so love this program, and it teaches me a lot. But boy, I'm upset, so thanks.
Yeah, so we're not saying, Patricia, not to talk about difficult issues. We're talking about how to do it in a way that the person hearing it will actually listen to what we're saying, and God can begin to work in that person's life. So it's, when we talk about making people uncomfortable, what I mean by that is saying things in such a way that the person shuts themselves off from listening to anything else you have to say. Because remember what the goal is. How do I get this person in front of me to want to listen to more of what I have to say? And yeah, you may say some things that are uncomfortable, but you're not doing it in such a way that you're pushing the person away that they don't want to listen to you. Because then what have you just accomplished? Nothing. You may have won that. I got my point across, but the person really didn't hear what you were saying. It really did begin to plant that seed in that person's heart. You know, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, don't talk about uncomfortable things. I talk about uncomfortable things all the time. At high schools, you know, I talk about what marriage is, man or woman. I talk about transgender. I talk about difficult things. And it does make some people uncomfortable, but it's the truth in love. And that's why when I speak these ways in schools to young people, they come up to me and they thank me for sharing the faith in a powerful way. So it's again, I think we just have to define our terms we mean by uncomfortable. You know, Jesus on the cross was uncomfortable, and he calls us to pick up our cross and follow him. So that's what I mean by uncomfortable, not saying something in a way that's going to isolate someone or push someone away, but making them think. The uncomfortable to the point like, ooh, boy, I'm not living my life that way. That's the uncomfortableness I'm talking about. That's the good uncomfortable. The conscience is being pricked and the conscience saying, ooh, you're hearing truth right now. You know, maybe you need to start conforming your life to what you know to be true. So you see what I'm saying there, Patricia?
I do. However, I think you're underestimating the power of this evil that is overtaking our culture. I mean, I can say to you absolutely, I'm willing to sacrifice time with the family if that's what I have to do to speak the truth. You know? I mean.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
I'm sorry to do this to you, Patricia, but the music's playing, and that means we have to go. And we would like to get Deacon Harold's blessing before we go. May we have your blessing before we go, Deacon?
Yes. May Almighty God bless you. Keep you the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Patricia. Deacon Harold, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and to all the listeners.
We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here, Catholic Answers Live.